Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hot Topic.
Tansy Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. This is a story that we were, Kevin, were we live when this story broke? I do believe we were.
I think we might have been.
Yeah, it was a Saturday morning when we found out the information of this story. We broke the news. I think it was the very end of our show. We got the information on there, and we were talking about it. And then later that night was the first ever Fanniversary. And that was out at, what is that? Not Las Colinas. Irving Convention Center. Or the Las Colinas Convention Center. And remember that they had all the different rooms, the party. Well, we went over and you and me were talking. We had Jane and Armin, and we were doing a segment with them.
Right.
And I think we did about an hour, and we talked about this, and it was some of the strongest stuff that we've really had to deal with. But it was about Josh Brent and the night that he drove drunk and killed his teammate and best friend, Jerry Brown.
So, it's been a while, and you might be wondering, like, why is this coming back up? Well, a jury yesterday, they found Josh Brent and Beamer's, the bar where he and Jerry Brown were being served, to be 96% liable for this. Like, this is a really weird thing. So, check it out. It goes down like this. Beamer's 48% at fault, according to the jury. Josh Brent, 48% at fault. The victim, Jerry Brown, 4% at fault, which seems insane to me on the surface. So, Beamer's and Josh Brent have been ordered to pay $25 million to the family of Jerry Brown. Now, Jerry Brown's family says that the money is going to go to a nonprofit, and they rejoiced and all that stuff.
Okay.
And, like, awesome. I support money going to charity and all that good stuff. But I just can't get over the fact that it is deemed other people's responsibilities for the choices you make. You know, like, and I don't mean this to sound like I'm speaking ill of the dead. This could go for anybody. Like, you know, Jerry Brown made the decisions to keep drinking. Jerry Brown made the decisions.
Josh Brent. Or Brent. Okay. Brent was the one. Okay. His decision to go ride with his friend.
Yeah. But he was drinking too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. I was got distracted by something.
So he was the one who made the decision to keep drinking.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that made the decision to get in the car with Josh Brent, who was clearly not or shouldn't have been driving. And maybe he didn't know that because he had been drinking too much and all. Like, I I've already seen some of the texts. And by the way, if you work in the bartending industry, I'm very fascinated to get your insight. And I know Corey did, so I want his insight as well. And I understand sometimes there's the law and there's like what you think the law should be. And I guess this is one of those points where I diverge from what the law is versus what I think the law should be. And I just don't entirely understand why these other people and entities are responsible for decisions that at the end of the day, Jerry Brown made, you know?
I mean, I can see your point. The problem that I have with this side of it is that, first of all, probably at the beginning of it, Jerry Brown probably thought that he had somebody that was going to be responsible to take care and drive, because he was obviously the passenger in this. And so he's like, all right, so I'm going to drink and you're not going to drink that much, and then we're going to be fine. So you start off with that, and then you start going overboard. The only thing you know is that I'm not driving. I don't have to worry about this part. I can, as long as I don't end up killing myself with alcohol, as far as like drinking till, you know, you can no longer function, that's not on him, I don't think. That's actually on whoever decides. Yeah, I'm when somebody tells you, yes, I'm sober enough to drive, get in the car, and you are not sober enough to tell if they are or not, then you're trusting on what they say, that they got this.
Yeah, no, I agree with Colby on that, man. If you're taking responsibility to get behind the wheel, I got to trust that you're responsible enough to take care of my life. And also,
you don't have to check that for yourself.
And you can if you're drunk.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I want to carry around a breathalyzer, yeah, sure. How much are those?
I don't know.
I'm
sure we got listeners who know.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people that are looking at their steering wheel right now going, yeah, I have to blow into this stupid thing before I start my car every time.
Agreed.
The other part, too, is, like, if you're out partying with the guy, am I supposed to sit there and watch every drink that he takes? Maybe, Kevin, I think you sit there and watch every drink I take whenever we go out, which is why I drink less, because I feel like you're judging me.
I'm always prepared to testify in your trial.
But that being said, like, if me and Colby were out and we're drinking, I'm not going to look back and be like, did Colby have 28 shots of whiskey or 22? Because remember that one time I went to the restroom and those girls walked by, and then, you know, so that's, there are things that are distracting. So it's very difficult, I think, for that person to keep track of what that person's drinking. That being said, you got to make good decisions when you get in a car with somebody after y'all have been drinking. Yes, I completely agree with you. You have to make good decisions.
From the 817, they say, Colby, did you grow up sheltered or homeschooled or something? Well, actually, high school, I was homeschooled. Not everyone goes out drinking with a designated driver. Plenty of young people are dumb and don't hesitate to drink, drive, or ride with somebody else who's drunk. See, there's the other side of it, is because when I was growing up, we had one guy that was, we nicknamed him Drunken Brad, because every time I saw him, no matter what time of day it was, he was drunk. And a lot of times we had to go try and help him because he had tried to park his car in somebody's house, or he was on the side of the road because he didn't have a license anymore and he's drunk or whatever, this guy. And growing up, seeing him while I was getting into that age of drinking and then also having the ability to drive, I realized really early that I didn't want to do that. If you ever see me out in an event and I've had a couple of drinks, somebody's bought me a couple of shots, I'll tell you I've had enough. Because I'll drink the hell out of whiskey once I get home in the security of my house. But I'm not going to tempt fate anywhere near it because of always having to either go get this guy, whether he was, he had just wrecked his car and needing somebody to come pick him up because he just wrecked it, like pulling into his house or whatever, or wrecked it pulling into his apartment, and try and get him into his bed and then try and move his car, which was, you know, usually mangled, and or he go pick him up as he's doing trash detail because of how many times he had gotten pulled over for drinking and driving or whatever. And going through that made me realize that, no, that is not something I want to tempt fate with.
Yeah,
I'll be in control while I'm driving. And I always remembered having somebody that would say, yeah, I won't drink tonight as long as somebody buys me a bottle for when I get home.
Yeah,
that was usually the...
That's a good deal.
That was usually the core.
So a couple of people texted in and they made this comparison, which I don't entirely... Actually, I don't really agree with it at all. Is they say, you can't blame the person who is drunk. That's like blaming a girl who gets blackout drunk and then she gets assaulted or raped. I disagree with that comparison because in that instance, like, the liability would be on the person who did the assaulting or the raping. Like, that the bar didn't do the driving. Like, I know they served the alcohol, but they didn't do the action that was illegal. So I don't really think that that's a comparable situation. However, I am seeing this a lot, and I wanted to turn this over to you, Corey, because you told me that they trained y'all for this. From the 972, it is 100% on the bar. As a server, we go through training every single year.
Yep.
All right, so walk me through that.
Yeah, you have to take a TABC test to work in the service industry, and that's just to hand somebody a drink. If you want to pour, you got to take the test too. And so just for me to be able to hand you a margarita, I have to be TABC certified. Now, I could not, and the bar can try and get away with it. But if TABC really wanted to come in and be like, all right, let's see all your certifications or let's see who your list of names,
they could shut the whole place down. They could find the bar
and bars. I mean, most bars don't make enough anyway to accept or absorb one of those fines. Like, they're fine, but like it's not as lucrative as some people think. But so just to be able to give you a drink, I have to have that. Now, in that, you have to take, just like we take, sexual harassment.
Trading.
Things that we say on air. Yeah. Right. Like if I want to bring somebody in that brings me food, I get to say their name on air because their company is a company that I fully support.
You need to learn more about that.
Those are the things that we have to study, right? Like you have to learn those things. And it's a pretty fairly simple test. But man, one of the things that stood out to me was the huge fine that I could be arrested. I could be charged for somebody getting too drunk while I was bartending. And I was like, hold on. That idiot over there is the one that drank all those drinks. I didn't force him to drink them. Why am I getting fined because he got into his car and got into a wreck on the way home? And that was, it's very clear. Look, it's your responsibility to take care of people. In the service industry, your job is to make sure that they are happy, they are taken care of. Even when they leave my premises and go somewhere else, absolutely. The reason being, you have to judge when somebody walks into your restaurant, walks into your bar, whether or not they've been drinking already. And if they've been drinking already, do not serve them because they will walk out of there, get in some sort of trouble, and then it's on you.
Okay, I want to read you this
So when you start in that industry, you know the rules and the possible risks.
The 865, wherever that is, I was a bartender in DFW for 14 years. I was legally liable. And I get all that. This is the part that really fascinates me. But the ones who drink the most are the ones who tip the most generally. It really is a high wire act. Okay,
it is, absolutely, because you're trying to get tip, man. You're trying to get that money.
Because that's your livelihood,
absolutely,
too.
And you get paid. Now, when I was bartending, I was making $20 an hour as a manager bartender also, on top of my tips, which were $500 a night. You're also making really good money. I was doing fairly well, but at the same time, you know, that part of the money really plays into your bills and everything that you're doing. Like you said, that's your livelihood. So you're trying to make sure that a customer walks out happy and tipping well. Now, sometimes when you say, no, I can't give you that extra drink, they get pissed off and they write down, you know, whatever tip they don't, or they don't tip at all. They don't give you anything because they're mad because you wouldn't serve them anymore. And so, you know, that's the high wire act that you're dealing with there. And usually, and this sounds bad, but usually the people that are more inebriated have the lesser judgment, and that extra zero will be written down, or that extra, it'll be $20 instead of $10. So, you know, because they're feeling happy because, man, that was a damn good bartender. He took care of me tonight. Give him an extra tip. Whereas they wake up in the morning and go, man, why did I tip that guy $5 extra? So, yes, you're constantly dealing with that. You get the right drunk person, you're walking out of there with $1,000. So, you know, that's what you're trying to make money. So it's a very weird balancing act.
So you have to balance your livelihood, your attempt to make money versus how drunk they are versus how drunk they are. Does it go into a legal issue where you could lose all of your money and get fired?
And your bar loses its right to serve alcohol.
And with all due respect, and correct me if I'm wrong here, top of your mind is probably not, I hope this guy gets home safe.
Nope. No, top of your mind is who needs the next drink. You know, you're looking around that bar, and if it's six deep like mine was most of the time, the entire bar six deep around, you don't even have time to think, man, did I serve that guy a beer a minute ago?
You've seen the situation when we've gone out to these different, you know, places to do and the main bar and trying to get that person's attention because everybody's trying to get that person's attention. And that person is also now trying to keep track of who all that they have served, what they have served. And you start to try and think about that, pretty soon you're just not going to remember anything because you're going to have all that information in your brain.
And I think back to one of the fan hangs that we did where we literally had to take the keys away from a fan host.
Right.
Because they were too drunk to drive. And that was a struggle for that one person. that we all knew and we had to work together. I can't even imagine keeping tabs on people that you probably don't really know, probably don't really have a personal connection with, and there's a lot more of them than just one. But bottom line is the civil court, they decided $25 million will be the fine, with 48% of it going to be taking the blame on Beamers, 48% of it with Josh Brent. And then this is the part that I still can't get over. Jerry Brown takes 4% of the blame. Like, if you just looked at any other situation where something like this played out, there's no way that that person would only take 4% of the blame.
It's hard to really put a whole lot of blame on the dead person.
I suppose that's what the jury has decided.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.